In Boston in the early 1970s, they were building Hancock Tower, which would eventually become one of the most iconic buildings on the skyline, a 60-floor tower covered entirely in giant panes of glass, a symbol of modern strength and achievement. But on the night of January 20th, 1973, the winds showed up. The whole building was still under construction when a winter gale hit. And at the top floors of the building, wind speeds reached 75 miles per hour. That's hurricane force winds. And those massive panels of glass, 11 feet tall, weighing 500 pounds, began to crack and then shatter and fall to the ground below. That is like a refrigerator made of glass falling from 60 stories up. Streets were roped off, police cordoned off the surrounding blocks, and by April, more than 1 acre of this building's surface was covered with plywood. Hence, it was dubbed the Plywood Palace. The building's owners called in experts who proposed the exact sort of engineering solutions you'd expect. More steel, more bracing, make it stiffer, more rigid. But a Cambridge engineer, William Lemessurier, suggested something that sounded bizarre at first. What if instead of making this building rigid to stabilize it, we instead give it a heavy, stable core? He proposed installing two giant steel boxes near the top of the building and filling them with 600 tons of lead, and then putting this on sliding plates connected with springs and shock absorbers. This building was already shedding glass like a Labrador sheds hair, 500 pounds at a time, and the solution was, let's add 1 million pounds of lead near the top. Nothing can go wrong, right? But here's the principle. When the building sways, and all buildings sway in the wind a little bit, the weight wants to stay put. That's inertia. So as the building moves, the weight resists the motion, and that resistance pulls the whole structure back towards the center. This tower that looked strong from the outside needed something heavy and stable and unseen near its heart. Not to stop the wind from blowing, not to stop the children from wandering, but to prevent the building from being blown around by every gust. All of us, I imagine, in our lives know what it's like to feel pushed around by the winds, the wind of someone else's opinion, the wind of anxiety that shows up at 2 a.m, the wind that whispers, you're only as valuable as what you accomplish today. And if we're honest, I suspect that a great number of us live our lives like spiritual weather vanes. Wherever the wind blows, that's what we do. Whoever or whatever shows up loudest, that becomes the boss. Whatever emotion arrives, that calls the shots. And it's exhausting living that way. When you don't have a stable core, you don't make decisions, you react, pushed around by whatever confronts you. You get an email and you start to draft a response before you've even finished reading it because you want this to go away. You want the angst to disappear. Or you're at a crossroads, a job decision or a relationship decision or a conversation you know you need to have. But instead of asking, where am I called? You ask, how do I make this feeling go away? And yet, there is another way to live, a way with more steadiness, more clarity, more freedom, a way with a grounded, stable core. In today's gospel reading, Jesus comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Isn't it striking that after nearly 30 years of silence, this is where the Gospels decide to pick the story of Jesus back up? There was the birth, the Magi. When Jesus was about 12 years old, we get a little glimpse of him in the temple. And then the baptism. It's like the writers are saying to us, if you want to understand who Jesus really is, start here. Start with the baptism as the foundation. Before anything else, before the teaching, before the healing, before the crowds, before the conflict, Jesus first wades into the waters of the River Jordan. And when he comes up, a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Notice that Jesus doesn't receive instructions from heaven. He receives an identity, a core. He receives a grounding. And everything that comes next, the temptation in the wilderness and the resistance of the religious elite and his ministry of love and compassion and healing, they all flow out of this central core. We call today the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord. And this morning we're going to baptize three young people. Baptism isn't just a sweet moment, however. It's not just a time when we gather with relatives and friends, when we take some pretty pictures, when we raise our glasses and share a toast, and then get back to real life. You see, baptism is at the core of a real life. So whether you were baptized 60 years ago or last year or whether you'll be baptized today, baptism is God giving us a stable core, the same stable core that he gave Jesus in the River Jordan. It's God saying, before you go out into the world, be grounded, wade into the water. Start here. And if you want proof that this grounding really matters, remember what happened to Jesus next. Right after the baptism, Jesus went into the wilderness and the wind arrived. The devil began taunting Jesus, saying, if you are the Son of God, in other words, are you sure about who you are? And in response, Jesus turns to his core, to his identity, to the words spoken from heaven, "My Son, the Beloved." In the passage we heard a few minutes ago from the book of Acts, we hear part of a sermon from Peter. Peter said, "After the baptism, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed, for God was with him." Peter said, after the baptism. Peter is also saying, if you want to understand the ministry, the movement, the church spilling out into the world, you have to start at the water, because the baptism was the center. And from that center, all the actions flowed outward. And the same is true of our lives. Any life of substance and stability begins with God putting something substantial and steady and unshakable in the core of a life. A baptism, a belovedness that we didn't earn, a stabilizing core. That's what baptism does for us. It doesn't remove the wind. It doesn't keep us out of the wilderness. It doesn't guarantee an easy life. But it does give us an unshakable center. I know that for me, there are times when I'm tempted to build my life around someone else's approval, or when I'm tempted to spiral in the midst of the winds that are assaulting me, or when I simply don't know what to do next. And those are the times when I need to return to the core. That might look like pausing before I send an email, or sleeping on a decision, or remembering and reminding myself of my baptismal vows. And when I do that, I still feel the wind, but I don't get blown away. When they installed the 600 tons of weight on the 58th floor of the Plywood Palace, the Hancock Tower, they weren't trying to make Boston's wind disappear. Good luck with that. But they were trying to make the building stop obeying every gust of the wind. And that's the difference baptism makes. It doesn't make you unbothered, but it does make you anchored. It gives you a center, a core, that's more stable than whatever weather assaults you. Which means when the winds come, and they will come, you don't have to live like a spiritual pinball, bouncing off whatever fear or anxiety or opinion or craving or deadline comes at you next. Instead, you can remain anchored and stable and remember your call to remember your baptism. Now that is where a lot of us get stuck. You see, remembering our baptism isn't just a feeling. Some of you may say, I don't even remember my baptism. But remembering our baptism is a practice. It's a return to the unshakable core given to you by God. You see, baptism wasn't just a moment that happened at some point in your life. It was giving you an identity, telling you who you can be, who you are when the next crisis comes. So when you come to a fork in the roads and the winds are howling, how will you decide from the center? Simply return to your baptism. Remember your baptismal vows. In a few minutes, Kate will ask us to renew our baptismal vows, and you will be asked, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Meaning, as you face a choice, is this choice pulling me towards communion, towards prayer, towards love? Or is it isolating me and making me smaller and less? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you sin, repent and return to the Lord? Meaning, is your decision dressed up temptation, a shortcut, a grudge, a way of winning that costs me a little bit of my soul? Or is it a step towards truth and goodness? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Meaning, who gets blessed by my decision? Who gets hurt? You see, these vows aren't simply sentimental. They are the weight at the core that pulls us back to center when the winds get strong. You see, often when we're stuck, we don't need more information. We need more stability. The hardest part about making a decision often isn't that we don't know what to do, but that we're too afraid to do what we already know is right. And baptism doesn't say, here is the answer. Baptism says, from your God-given center, remember who you are, and then make decisions based on that identity. When someone's facing a big life decision, it's not terribly uncommon for them to come talk to me or meet with me. And based on my experiences and my interactions with others, it seems like most of us are tempted to swing between two spiritual overreactions. The first I think of as the wind chasing life. You live on the surface of the moment, pulled by the loudest voice, the strongest emotion, the latest anxiety. Your decisions aren't really decisions, they're reactions. And yes, we can find a way to spiritualize this sort of life, to make it sound good by saying things like, I just lead where God calls me. But often that's code for, I'm stressed and I need immediate relief, so I'm going to just react. I'm going to do something right now. The second overreaction is windproofing. This is the frozen life. If this is your life, you'll say something like, I'll make a decision once I'm completely certain. You don't want discernment in your life. You want a 100% guarantee. You research and you delay. And we can again spiritualize this saying, I'm just waiting on God's timing, which can be code for, I'm terrified of going the wrong direction. Wind chasing and windproofing look like opposites. One moves too fast, one not at all, but they share the same root. I can't tolerate the discomfort of being human in an uncertain world. But baptism gives us another way. Baptism gives us a stable core so you don't have to decide from panic or from approval seeking or from fear or even the fantasy that you can control your future. Baptism says, I am rooted, I can listen, I can take the next right step, not because the wind stopped blowing, but because I am moving from a constant, stable center. Then you don't have to live like a pinball or a statue. You can live like a disciple. The solution for the Hancock Tower was eventually called a tuned mass damper. And after its great success there, it didn't stay in Boston. It spread halfway around the world to the Taipei 101, once the tallest building in the world, where a massive hidden weight keeps the whole thing stable. Closer to home, at 432 Park Avenue in New York City, that super skinny, tall residential tower that towers over Central Park, it's also built around this stabilizing truth. If you don't put something steady at the center, the higher you go, the more vulnerable you become. In other words, if you want to build something great and tall and lasting, you must start with a stable core. The wind in our world is real, but the winds don't have to control your life. Baptism won't stop the gusts, but it can become the solid, stable core of your life. By the way, do you know what our tagline is here at the cathedral? Love at the core. Love at the core. Love at the core of our city. Love at the core of our faith. Love at the core of our lives. So when you come to a fork in the road, when the anxiety rises, when the decisions press in, don't be driven by the unstable gusts. Instead, wade into the waters. Remember your baptismal vows. Come back to the core. Love at the core. Amen.